Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
This Tuesday marked 1 year since the first of two recent deadly crashes of the Boeing 737 MAX aircraft. Lion Air Flight 610 took off from Jakarta, and 12 minutes later, it fell into the Java Sea, killing all 189 people on board. Then in March, an Ethiopian Airlines plane of the exact same model crashed shortly after taking off, killing 157 people. And this week, Boeing CEO Dennis Muilenburg testified before the House and Senate committees for the first time and took questions about evidence of potential wrongdoing surrounding the crashes. Here's Texas Senator Ted Cruz on Tuesday reading from a text exchange between two of Boeing's chief technical pilots.
Mr. Faulkner, so basically I lied to the regulators unknowingly. Gustafson, it wasn't a lie. No one told us that was the case. Faulkner, I'm leveling off at like 4,000 feet, 230 knots, and the plane is trimming itself like crazy. I'm like, what? Faulkner, granted, I suck at flying, but even this was egregious.
Joining me now to discuss this week's testimony is Leslie Josephs, airline reporter for CNBC.com. Leslie, welcome back to the show.
Thank you.
So we just heard a clip from Mark Faulkner, a former chief technical pilot for Boeing, who mentioned some alarming concerns over the 737 MAX in that text exchange. Did he bring those concerns to the FAA?
Well, he was speaking with the FAA the entire time, and this is someone who is telling the FAA, hey, this system, which is at the center, by the way, of both crashes, it's been implicated as the cause, a malfunction regarding that system, saying delete that system from manuals. So pilots didn't even know that the system existed until after the Lion Air crash a year ago.
So let's remind folks about the concerns around the 737 MAX. We talked about this control system, and it's known as the MCAS. Mm-hmm. It relied on one sensor. I am not an airline expert. You are. Explain this for us, please.
So the MCAS was put on these planes. The 737 has been around since 1967. Anyone who's flown has probably flown on a 737. Boeing has changed the design, added layers of technology over the years, and the 737 MAX features these two very large fuel-efficient engines, which is a great sell for airlines, but there were some concerns amongst engineers that the plane could tip upwards, which when it's flying at certain speeds, which can cause the plane to stall, and that could be catastrophic. So what Boeing did is that it added the system. It's an automated flight system that would push the nose down automatically. Pilots didn't have to do anything if it got into that attitude. What happened on Lion Air is that one of the sensors that feeds the system got incorrect data. The plane was not going into a stall, and the pilots were battling the system that pushed the nose of the plane down over and over again until it took one final dive.
So there was a document released this week as part of the hearings that showed that a Boeing engineer did raise concerns about the 737 MAX in 2015. What happened?
So this engineer was saying, are we sure we want to rely on one sensor? Raised concerns. 2015 is over a year before the FAA approved the plane. So there was some concern over do we want more redundancy? And that's what lawmakers are now asking Boeing CEO and other executives, saying, why didn't you put in more safeguards if you knew that this could be a concern?
Do we have an answer to that yet?
They are saying we made a mistake. This is Muilenburg saying, I am sorry. The victim's family members standing behind him saying we made an error.
So there were other red flags, apparently, that Boeing executives were aware of. Explain those for us.
So there have been complaints. One of the emails that surfaced was a complaint from a manager of the 737 program in 2018, June 2018, I believe. This is months before the Lion Air crash, saying the 737 plant is running at full speed. My workers are tired. They are exhausted. I'm worried about quality. And in one of the messages, he even says, I don't know if I want to put my family on a Boeing. So I'm not worried about it.
So Dennis Muilenburg said he's sorry. But beyond that, is he taking any other responsibility for these crashes during the congressional hearings?
Well, earlier this month, the board stripped him of his chairmanship. He was chairman and CEO. There's going to be no bonuses this year, Boeing has told us. But he has resisted calls so far to resign. And lawmakers said, well, why don't you resign? And there have been countless criticisms from lawmakers during the hearings and saying, well, why don't you do more than that?
Is he going to potentially be sued by any of the families?
I mean, there are lawsuits ongoing right now, and they're trying to settle. Boeing has set aside a $100 million fund for families, victims' families, and also their communities. But people said, well, you make more than $20 million, and that's what you're handing out. But that amount that Boeing is setting aside is exclusive of what can come out of the litigation.
So what happens with the technology going forward? I mean, why hasn't the FAA been more aggressive in its oversight with Boeing in general when it comes to this technology?
Well, part of the issue is that it was a decades-long program that has existed where FAA essentially farms out certification tasks to Boeing. And that's really under fire right now. And this has been going on for so long. It's how
we
certify.
Is that like the fox guarding the hen house, sort of?
That's some of the criticism. And does the FAA need greater oversight? And the at the time in the spring, the acting head of the FAA said, well, I need almost $2 billion to do it. And Ralph Nader, whose grandniece was on the Ethiopian flight, said, so do it.
So how important is the 737 MAX to Boeing generally when it comes to profits?
It's enormously important. It's about 40% of Boeing's profits. This is Boeing's future. They have orders of 4,400 airplanes all over the world. Boeing is banking on this airplane, and it needs it to fly again. So what Boeing is doing now is it's changing the software, relying on two sensors instead of one. Of course, the lawmakers are saying, well, why didn't you do that in the first place?
What do they do going? I mean, what's coming next for Boeing?
Well, going forward, they need the FAA to sign off on these changes, and so far they haven't done it. I mean, the FAA doesn't want to look like they're just rubber stamping everything. There's a ton of scrutiny now on the FAA. So Boeing says that we're pretty much at the tail end. We expect to get regulator approval sometime this quarter before the end of the year. Airlines have taken the plane out of their schedules through the beginning of 2020. So we're not sure when it's going to fly again.
Leslie Josephs is an airline reporter for CNBC.com. Leslie, thanks so much.
Thank you.